From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. On today's Fresh Air, a tribute to the Mexican cover versions of rock and roll hits of the 50s and 60s. You'll get to hear Lonely Teardrops, Poison Ivy, and All Day and All of the Night sung in Spanish by the great singer Big Sandy. He's one of three guest vocalists on the new Los Straitjackets CD, Rock en Español. Big Sandy will be accompanied in our studio by guitarist Eddie Angel of Los Straitjackets, and Danny Amos, the band member who collects these covers, will talk about the whole phenomenon. Everyone's talking about last night's conclusion to The Sopranos. Some people are really confused and disappointed. We'll hear what our TV critic David Bianculli has to say. That's all coming up on Fresh Air. First, the news. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We've got some great music for you today, performed in our studio, paying tribute to American and British rock and roll hits of the 50s and 60s. Well, actually, it's a tribute to the Mexican cover versions of those hits, sung in Spanish. The founder of the band Los Straitjackets, Danny Amos, collects these Mexican cover recordings. On the new Los Straitjackets CD, Rock en Español, Los Straitjackets does Spanish versions of songs like Poison Ivy, Lonely Teardrops, Wild Thing, and All Day and All of the Night. We're going to hear duet versions of some songs from the CD, featuring Los Straitjackets guitarist Eddie Angel and singer Big Sandy. Big Sandy is one of the three guest vocalists on the new CD. Danny Amos, who also plays guitar with the band, is with us to talk about the music. Previous Los Straitjackets albums have paid tribute to the twist and surf music. Welcome to Fresh Air. And I'd like to start, Danny, by asking you to introduce the first song as if you were introducing it in concert.
Con mucho gusto. Damas y caballeros, estamos encantados de estar aquí en Fresh Air Radio y queremos presentar nuestra canción de nuestro disco nuevo, Rock en Español, Volumen 1, Damas y Caballeros, El Señor Big Sandy y Eddie Angel con De Día y De Noche.
Estoy feliz estar junto a ti todo el día. Ah, yo quisiera estar junto a ti todo el tiempo. Quieres tan sin ti, mi amor, ni un momento. Yo quisiera estar junto a ti noche, día, de noche, día, mi bien. De noche, día, mi bien. De noche, día, mi bien. Yo sé muy bien que nuestro amor es por siempre. Amas, mi bien, yo dejaré de quererte. No quieres tan sin ti, mi amor, ni un momento. Yo quisiera estar junto a ti noche, día, de noche, día, mi bien. De noche, día, mi bien. De noche, día, mi bien.
Oh, that's great. But you know it as All Day and All of the Night. Oh, that sounded so fantastic. And that was Big Sandy singing, Eddie Angel on guitar, Danny Amos introducing the song for us. And they're performing today's songs on the new Los Straitjackets album, Rock en Español, Volume 1. How did you get the idea to do these Spanish versions of early rock and roll songs?
Well, it was quite a popular genre. In the early 60s in Mexico, there were quite a few groups inspired by the arrival of Bill Haley, who was down there avoiding income tax evasion.
Well, Bill Haley was in Mexico?
Yeah, he moved to Mexico City for a while and inspired a whole scene in Mexico City. And there were all these groups doing American rock and roll songs in Spanish. And they changed the lyrics, sometimes drastically. Some were faithful translations, but a lot of them were just completely different, and it's a wonderful. I love these records, and I've been collecting them for a long time, and we've known for years we needed to do an entire album of Mexican rock and roll with Big Sandy, and we finally got around to doing it this past year.
A wise choice to have Big Sandy.
Why, thank you.
Love your singing. So you were mentioning that the lyrics for the Mexican version, the Spanish language version of the songs, were sometimes close, sometimes not so close.
Yeah.
What about the lyric we just heard? How close is it to the Kinks' original?
It's fairly faithful to the original. But, you know, some poetic license there, but.
Yeah, that one's really close.
But
yeah.
There's other ones like, you know, like,
El Microscopico Bikini,
yeah.
which was Dizzy Miss Lizzy, and they've changed it to a song about a girl on the beach with a tiny bathing suit.
As if it were Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot.
Yeah, similar, which it wasn't.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
yeah. So Sandy, had you grown up with any of these records? Like, did you know them before you started performing them?
I did, growing up in L.A., in the East L.A. area. You would hear songs like this, some of this music on the radio, but I didn't think much of it. It just sort for me, it was just sort of there until I think it was about 25 years ago. I took a trip, my first time to go on the road with a band. I wasn't playing, but my first trip out of town. We went to Arizona, and I had the days off to myself, and I rented a car and I went around looking for records, and I found an album by Los Teen Tops. Before this, it was just music I heard on the radio. This made it real, like, wow, this is like a teenage band. It was, you know, guys close to the age I was at the time. That's what made it real for me and began me on my a quest looking for more records like this, like we're covering on this album.
You know. Eddie, your turn.
Well, I mean, I grew up in upstate New York, so there wasn't much Mexican radio going on. It wasn't even a Mexican restaurant. So I kind of,
right.
I heard it, I think, Danny probably introduced me to me probably like 15 years ago. Los Teen Tops, again, was a... But I immediately dug it because it sounded like punk rock to me, you know? I mean, in a good way. You know, it was primitive and kind of grassroots sounding, so...
Well, how about another song?
All right.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is... if you don't mind me saying...
No.
Yeah, this song was originally done by Brenton Wood, who was kind of like a local hero at... In East L.A., we thought it'd be cool to do a Spanish language version of it. So we got a friend of ours who's in a band called Little Luis y los Wild Teens, and he did a great his own translation of the song. But later we found out that there was a Mexican version of the song.
Yeah.
That
yeah, we got our friend Little Luis Arriaga to translate this for us because we couldn't find a Mexican version. And then after we recorded it, I played it for some friends of mine in Mexico City who told me, yes, there was a version by Roberto Jordan. So I spent the whole year trying to find that record, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And I was in a flea market in Mexico City, and I found a picture sleeve of, I think it was Mohair Sam and Land of a Thousand Dances by Los Hitters. And I was happy to find that. I pulled out the record to check in the condition to see what it was in, and it was the wrong record. But it happened to be Hazme Una Señal by Roberto Jordan.
Wow. That's
which is a version that we were
by sheer
for,
luck.
Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
It was really a funny coincidence.
Well, Danny, you should introduce this the way you'd introduce it on stage.
Damas y caballeros, para su placer, Eddie Angel y Big Sandy con Dame Una Señal.
Si tú me quieres, ven dame un beso. Si no me quieres, oye no lo hagas. Pero si deseas que sea tu hombre, cuando me sienta mal y quiera llorar, ven a mí, enséñamelo ya. Dame una señal, oh mi nena, dime que me amas, oh yeah. Dame una señal, oh mi nena, dime que me amas, alright. Si tú me quieres, dime una cosa. Si no me quieres, no me digas nada. Pero si deseas que sea tu hombre, cuando me sienta mal y quiera llorar, ven a mí, enséñamelo ya. Dame una señal, oh mi nena, dime que me amas, alright. Dame una señal, oh mi nena, dime que me amas, alright. Dame una señal, señal. Dame una señal, dame una señal.
dame una seña. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my baby, show me that you're mine, girl. All right. Oh, give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my darling, show me that you're mine, girl. All right. Dame una seña. Come on now, sing it. Seña. Oh, just give me some kind of sign, girl. Now give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, give me some kind of sign, girl.
That's just wonderful. Thanks. And that was Eddie Angel on guitar, Big Sandy singing. And Eddie Angel and our other guest, Danny Amos, are with Los Straitjackets. And the new Los Straitjackets CD featuring vocals by Big Sandy is called Rock on Español. And it features Spanish versions of early rock and roll hits, like the one we just heard, which is from the 60s, not all that early, but early
it's
enough.
It's like 68, I think that was.
So when you were talking, Danny, about finding these records and starting to collect them 15 years ago, where do you go to find them? I mean, are there flea markets in Mexico where you could find old records the way you can in the U.S.?
Yeah, there's – in fact, that's the only place you can find them. There's – I mean, there's one particular street corner where there's a street vendor every weekend who has the best selection I've ever found. There's also – there's a rock and roll flea market called Chopo. That happens every Saturday afternoon. That's the best places to find old vinyl records. And I would like to add that I'm really glad we did not find the original version of Give Me a Little Sign, because our friend Lou Luis did a much better job with the lyrics, I think.
What are the lyrics on the original recording in Spanish that you finally
found? Hazme unas, it was way too wordy, I thought.
His says more directly, Give Me a Little Sign, whereas that version is like, make me a signal or something.
Yeah.
My guests are Danny Amos and Eddie Angel of Los Straitjackets, and Big Sandy, who's a guest singer on the new Los Straitjackets CD, Rock and Español, Volume 1. More music and conversation after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Danny Amos and Eddie Angel of the band Los Straitjackets, and Big Sandy, who's one of the guest vocalists on their new CD, Rock and Español, Volume 1, which is a tribute to Mexican cover versions of rock and roll hits of the 50s and 60s. So what are some of the coolest names of the Spanish bands from the period of the 60s?
Well, a name that always struck me is kind of cool. I wasn't sure where they got it from, and we had one of the members of the original members of the band come out to see us in Houston, Los Johnny Jets. That's a name that I've always liked.
Yeah, I thought Los Rockin' Devils was a great name. These bands were kind of the inspiration for the name of Los Straitjackets, using the Spanish article with the English noun.
Yeah, Danny, do you have any Spanish background? Or is this
none,
is it
none
just
whatsoever.
The music that you love? It's not.
No, I just
not
first,
like an ethnic heritage kind of thing.
No, I heard some rock and roll records in a Mexican restaurant in Nashville, and when I heard that, I went, okay, I've got to go to Mexico and look for some of these records, and that's why I went to Mexico, and then I fell in love with the culture, and I've ended up spending more time there than I do at home.
And you should describe the mask that you're wearing that you always wear on stage.
Well, this is the Daddy Ogrande mask. It's silver and blue. And
quite stunning, I should add.
Well, thank you. I was inspired by the mask of a wrestler named Atlantis, and actually the man who makes my masks is the same guy who makes the masks for the wrestler Atlantis.
Huh. Yes, I think when you walked in, our engineer didn't understand why you were wearing the mask, and I think she might have thought you were a highly decorative robber?
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
The Federal Reserve Bank's next door.
It helps me, yeah. It helps me to get into character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, Sandy, are you the only person in the room who actually has a Mexican background?
I think so, and the one who speaks the least amount of Spanish.
Is that true?
Well, my mother's family's from Mexico. My father's family's from England, the kind of English, Irish, Welsh background. We just grew up speaking English, like, exclusively. It wasn't until a little bit later that I started to pick up a little bit. And now I know enough to, I can, you know, people are talking about me. I know what they're saying. But I'm a little hesitant to jump in on a conversation. It's just like a psychological barrier, you know. But,
did you mostly learn the language for the songs?
No, but it has helped me a little bit in using Spanish, you know. Although there's almost like a separate language used in rock and roll that, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah, there's a lot of slang that
right,
you would never
right.
use in English as well. You
for
never,
for example,
itching like a man up a fuzzy tree. You wouldn't say that really in English.
And how would you say that in Spanish?
I don't think you would say that's an Elvis.
All shook up isn't
yeah,
isn't translated.
and that's like, you know, that those are the kinds of expressions you hear in rock and roll songs that you wouldn't use in conversation really.
And Danny, no Mexican background for you?
I know of.
And so do you feel like a connection with these songs?
Oh, yeah, because the connection is rock and roll. It's a universal language, you know. I mean, it's the same thing.
And there's something that just really works with the Spanish language. I've heard a lot of rock and roll in other languages, but there's something it works in Spanish where it doesn't work in I don't know, German or French.
And it makes it sound
as well.
The song sounds cooler. Like a song like Tallahassee Lassie sounds cooler in Spanish to me, and it sounds fresh.
Chica brotada.
Just the sound of the percussive sound of the language.
Well, I think you know, the song Poison Ivy was a hit by the Coasters in, was it the late 50s or early 60s?
Like 59.
And it's a novelty song about how much you're going to itch if you get poison ivy. But in Spanish, it sounds just like a great rhythm song because you're not, if you're me, you don't understand the lyrics in Spanish. So it takes some of the novelty aspect out of it, some of the just like cute aspect out of it, and makes it more of like a really cool rhythm song.
I think that's what you're saying. It strips it down to the rock and roll, basic rock and roll element. Yeah.
Because like, you know, in the English version, it's like, you're going to need an ocean of calamine lotion. Yeah. You'll be itching like a hound the moment you start to mess around.
The minute you start to mess around.
Yeah. And I don't understand what's going on in Spanish, but it just sounds like less cute and more cool. And this is with all due respect to Lieber and Stoller, who I think wrote the lyrics.
Yeah, they did.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, no. Okay.
I mean, you know, to me, I mean, I dig both versions, you know, but it's just fun to do it this way, you know.
Want to introduce it, Danny?
Con mucho gusto. Damas y caballeros, el señor Big Sandy y Eddie Angel con La Hiedra Venenosa.
All right. Pareces una rosa, bonita y olorosa, que embrujas a los hombres con tu gracia loca frivolidad. Pero nadie sabe que eres mala de corazón, perverso porque tienes, no lo sé. Pareces una rosa bonita y primorosa, que trajes a los hombres con tu gracia loca frivolidad. Pero nadie sabe que eres mala de corazón, perverso porque fingas, no lo sé. Now measles will make you mumpy, and mumps will make you lumpy. Now chicken pox will make you jump and twitch. Tu alma envenenada, serpiente venenosa, no tienes forma de mujer. Pareces una rosa, bonita y primorosa, que embrujas a los hombres con tu gracia loca frivolidad.
pero nadie sabe, pero nadie sabe. Late at night while you're sleeping, poison ivy comes a creeping around. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. La da 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 da.
Yay, that was great. This is so much fun. And we just heard Eddie Angel on guitar, Big Sandy doing the vocals, and introducing it for us was Danny Amos, who is also a guitarist. Is there anything that's really different in the Spanish lyric compared to the original English lyric?
That one is pretty faithful.
Pretty close?
Yeah, the version by Los Rebeldes del Rock.
Although it isn't quite as cutesy, it's a little more menacing, it's sort of like, a little darker feel to it, though, you know, than the English language version.
So. Yeah, well, it works. It works. Can you talk about a song in which the Spanish lyric is really different from the English lyric, and maybe just do a couple of bars of both versions for us?
Okay, I think Wild Thing might be a good example of that. Yeah. Like the American version goes. Let's play a little bit of that.
Wild Thing. Make my heart sing. You make everything groovy. Wild Thing.
Okay, that's in English, pero en español.
Loco. Dice que está loco. Que patine el coco. Loco.
Now, Danny, maybe you can explain the...
Yeah, the Spanish version of that, which is by Juan el Matemático, a certified lunatic from Juarez. The lyrics to that have been changed to crazy. They say you're crazy. You've slipped your mind, you've slipped your mind. You're crazy, and that's essentially that's what they're saying in the song.
Danny Amos and Eddie Angel are with the band Los Straitjackets. Big Sandy is a guest vocalist on Los Straitjackets' new CD, Rock and Español, Volume 1. They'll all be back to talk and perform more in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
Support for NPR comes from Barnes & Noble, publishers of the Barnes & Noble Classics edition of the Histories of Herodotus, in stores and online at bn.com. And from TIAA Craft, helping those who serve others plan for and live in retirement, online at TIAACREF.org. CDs and transcripts of Fresh Air are available from Burrell's Loose at 1-877-21-FRESH. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Coming up, more Spanish cover versions of rock and roll hits from Los Straitjackets and Big Sandy. And what about last night's conclusion to The Sopranos that left some fans feeling cheated? We'll hear how our TV critic David Bianculli is feeling.
Tendré calor. Quiero mucho más calor. Pues todavía siento frío, siento escalofríos. ¡Woo! Dame mucho más calor. Pero ¿no crees que mis ruegos son de vacilón? Me siento tan frío como un congelador. Si tú te acercaras ya sería mejor. Y así tendré yo calor. Quiero mucho más calor.
Damas y caballeros, directamente de los estudios de Fresh Air Radio, WHYY in Philadelphia, están escuchando Fresh Air Radio con Terry Gross.
Yeah, well, that's a kind of cool way of saying, this is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with more music by Los Straitjackets, inspired by Mexican cover versions of rock and roll hits of the 50s and 60s. Danny Amos, who just gave our show that great introduction, is a founder of the band and one of the two guitarists. He collects these Mexican covers. Performing in our studio is Eddie Angel, who also plays guitar with the band, and Big Sandy, who's one of the guest singers on the new Los Straitjackets CD, which is called Rock en Español, Volume 1. So I bet you're getting a lot of stories now from fans of Los Straitjackets about Rock en Español that they grew up with. Are you getting a lot of that?
Occasionally we get, we're getting fans that did grow up listening to that will come up and talk and thank us for doing this album.
And are you meeting some of the bands that you've borrowed from?
Well, actually, Danny has had a chance to do that, meet some of the original guys.
You know? Yeah, I've down in Mexico City, a lot of them are still active, although a lot more, say, 10 years ago than now. But, several years ago, I actually had the opportunity to get on stage and play with Los Teen Tops, which was a thrill for me.
And is there like a Mexican oldies scene like there's been in the U.S.?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, a lot of the old bands are still active. They never stopped. A lot of them have personnel changes. The unusual thing down there is usually the original member is the drummer. and I don't know why that is. In the U.S., it's usually he's the first one to go. I don't know.
Now, Los Straitjackets it started out as an instrumental band, and you have guest vocalists on a lot of your CDs. Is it hard to find a space, particularly on the radio, for instrumental-only tracks?
Sometimes, yeah. We had some good luck with Pacifica a few years ago, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've been lucky getting songs in movies and TV shows.
Yeah, like name a few.
Harriet the Spy,
Sex in the City, yeah.
Melrose Place,
yeah,
Bad News Bears,
yeah,
Jimmy Neutron,
a lot of trailers,
yeah.
Has Quentin Tarantino used you?
I don't think he's actually. Oh no, he did Kill Bill too.
Okay.
Sure enough, yeah.
And does it help? I mean, do people actually do the research to find out what the music is, say on Sex in the City, or you know, in because it doesn't say on screen, and it's sometimes really frustrating when you hear something on TV that you like.
Oh yeah, no, it goes by in like it's in 30 seconds or less, and no one knows. It just helps us stay in the music business, is what it does.
But it doesn't necessarily hook up fans to
no, not really.
I know with some shows that
sometimes
like the OC seems to have.
Well, like
done
with
that. Yeah.
You know with Big Sandy and the Fly Right Boys, yeah. We just had a song in Grey's Anatomy, uh-huh. And they have there's like a whole network of fans, you know who. Well, there's the website is pretty good about letting people know what music appeared on the show, and we noticed a little spike in sales after that. That show in particular, kind of some shows are known for the music, and people are kind of like want to know, okay, what songs are going to have in this week's episode? You know, so that might be an exception.
Yeah, I don't know that any of the soundtrack stuff has really gotten us any new fans, but our fans do notice when they hear it and they get excited about that.
Now, what about the instrumental parts of the Mexican versions of the songs that you're doing? And we've talked a little bit about how the lyrics varied from the original English versions to the Mexican covers. What about instrumentally? Are there big differences there?
Well, they tried to stay faithful to it, but it wound up being, like we're saying, more punk rock to my ear, you know, because they weren't as accomplished musicians or something. But it gave it a certain energy, you know, that I think makes the records really, really cool and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of those groups, they really were teenagers when they were doing it, and it just really gave it a fun, youthful, lively feel.
Ed, you should say something about your guitar. There's something that looks like a price tag dangling from one of the keys.
Well,
what is it?
This is a plug for DePinto Guitars. We get our guitars from Chris DePinto right here in Philadelphia. He has a guitar shop over in, is it Girard? But anyway, we've been playing DePinto Guitars exclusively for about 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we needed an acoustic guitar for this show, and I called up Chris DePinto yesterday and said, could you help me out? And he dropped off this acoustic guitar at the hotel yesterday so we could have it. So
what does it say on the tag?
Oh, it says $99. it's pretty good for $99.
I'm wondering about people like Freddie Fender, who had big hits in America and, you know, could sing in Spanish or English, and was kind of beloved on, I think, both sides of the border. What impact did he have on you?
On me, quite a bit. He that's one of my idols. And we had there was talk about trying to get him maybe to do something with us on this record, and then he was just not in very good health, and then ended up passing away. So it's kind of unfortunate that that worked out that way, but we did sort of pay tribute to him with one of the songs. Tu Te Vas was his version, was Freddie's version of a Barbara Lynn song, You Lose a Good Thing.
You want to do a couple of lines of it?
Tu Te Vas?
Because we're a big, little shout out to Freddie Fender.
Because we're a big fan of Barbara Lynn's too.
Yeah.
Barbara Lynn, who did the original artist on this.
$99.
Si acaso tú te vas, oh yeah, me pierdes a mí, yeah, yeah. Si acaso tú te vas, oh yeah, me pierdes a mí, yeah. Bien sabes que te quiero, no te puedo olvidar. Si por tu amor me muero, me haces llorar. Si acaso tú te vas, oh yeah, me pierdes a mí. Oh yeah, si acaso tú te vas. Oh yeah, me pierdes a mí. Just Jack, Jack, me pierdes a mí. Oh yeah, me pierdes a mí.
That was fantastic. That's Eddie Angel on guitar, Big Sandy singing, and they're playing for us songs that they do on the new Los Straitjackets album, which is called Rock on Español, and it features Spanish language versions of early rock and roll songs as inspired by Mexican rock and roll bands of the 50s and 60s. What influence do you think Freddie Fender actually had on your singing?
Well, a tremendous influence. It just was one of the things I used to hear around the house all the time. My mom would play Freddie Fender records a lot, you know, when she was cleaning the house. So when I was just like a kid running around, you know, it just was like kind of soundtrack to my life. He was just like him and Elvis. He was just one of a handful of people that meant a lot to me growing up. Just as we were just doing that Tu Te Vas, I remember singing along to that record growing up. I really learned singing along to Freddie Fender, learned how to sing along to his records. You know, so the man meant a lot to me, and miss him.
We're going to take a break here and then come back with more music and conversation with Los Straitjackets and Big Sandy. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Danny Amos and Eddie Angel of the band Los Straitjackets, and Big Sandy, who's one of the guest vocalists on their new CD, Rock en Español, Volume 1, which is a tribute to Mexican cover versions of rock and roll hits of the 50s and 60s. Danny, when you co-founded Los Straitjackets, was the idea always to have that kind of Mexican-American sound to it?
Not originally. We were just starting an instrumental band, but we were looking for a way to kind of set us apart from the others. And I had a bag of masks that I'd picked up at the wrestling matches in Mexico City, and we decided we'd try wearing those, and that turned out to be a big hit. But then in trying to name the band, Eddie and I had an earlier incarnation of the group called The Straitjackets, named after one of our songs. And since we had changed the personnel a little bit, and we're wearing the masks this time, we were looking for a way to just change the name a little bit, and Los Straitjackets came up as an obvious name, and we just sort of maintained the theme, and then thought it would be just to add to it, just to make it that much sillier, to introduce all the songs in Spanish, which in Nashville nobody would understand a word I was saying.
Well, that's the thing. You're a Nashville-based band, so it seems like such an anomaly to do this kind of stuff and live in Nashville.
Well, that's true. It was the whole idea was just, I mean, it was a silly idea to begin with, but it worked.
Danny, how'd you learn how to speak such good Spanish, or at least sounds good to me? I'm not Spanish-speaking.
That's a good trick. I just from going to Mexico, and I've made a lot of friends down there, and I just spend a lot of time down there, and I just picked it up there.
Sandy, the last time you were on the show, you talked about how Big Sandy is kind of a onstage persona for you. It's not your real name. And that when you go on stage, you feel like you become almost like a different person. You're more extroverted and kind of larger, you know what I mean, than you are off stage, where you feel more shy and unassuming.
Definitely.
So do you wear the mask on stage?
No, I don't. I've just been wearing a pair of shades on this trip. But actually, that transition is even more dramatic, I think, when I perform with Los Straitjackets. I think I go a little bit farther than I do with my own band, because it's just kind of just cut loose, go wild sort of thing. So that definitely happens whenever I perform with my group, but even beyond that with these guys. You think so?
Yeah, putting on the mask definitely helps put us into a persona that we can just do anything with that we want to.
Eddie, what does it do for you?
Well, we can do like silly choreography that I wouldn't be able to do without a wrestling mask, for instance.
Yeah,
like early 60s type choreography, you know.
Yeah, it sort of takes away your inhibitions because you're hiding behind something, so you can really do things you wouldn't do normally.
Oh, I wish I could see the choreography.
it's pretty cool, you know. Yeah. I mean, sort of like on paper, it sounds like, okay, like a gimmicky sort of thing. But it really works in a rock and roll way. It really makes for a fun show, and, you know, I dig it.
What's it like when you play Mexico? How does the reaction compare to when you play the States?
Well, we have a pretty strong following down there. At first, I think a lot of the band, I wasn't as worried as the rest of the band, but I think a lot of the band was worried how we'd be perceived showing up wearing the Lucha Libre masks and speaking in Spanish, and
like you were just appropriating their culture,
right? But they could tell that we were actually paying tribute to it, and the first time we went down there to play, you would never catch a hipster on the scene wearing a Lucha Libre mask. After we left, within a year, there were over 20 bands in Mexico City wearing masks and doing instrumentals, and it's almost like, a friend of mine, and I don't know, compare us to the Beatles, but a friend of mine said it was kind of like when the Beatles came here and sort of spoon-fed our culture back to us that we'd neglected. I think a lot of people didn't realize they have some really cool aspects of their culture that they were ignoring.
You mean like the Beatles when they played songs by their early R&B
Inspired them. Yeah, it's like a lot of people. Yeah. Rock and roll didn't seem. It was sort of like they helped revive it here in the U.S. and on a much smaller scale. Of course, I think we've sparked some interest in the Lucha Libre, which they didn't really. A lot of the Mexican wrestlers have actually acknowledged that we've helped their popularity down there in recent years, which came as a big surprise to me.
The last time we played in Mexico City, we played at El Zocalo, the main square in Mexico City, and there was 70,000 people there.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Yeah, they came to see us. We set up in front of the cathedral. It was a show put on by the government, and it was televised.
That must be quite an experience.
Yeah. Now, there might be 70,000 people there every Friday night. I don't know. We don't know. But
well, they were, yeah, the crowd was, we were the headliners. They stayed to the end, and they were singing along our melodies. Yeah. Even though we were doing instrumentals, they were there to see us.
People were selling bootleg shirts of ours and stuff.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get one. They looked really cool, but I couldn't find the guy selling it.
Yeah.
Can I ask you to do one more song for us?
Sure.
You do Lonely Teardrops, which Jackie Wilson had the big hit of. I'd love to hear you do it.
Okay, let's try that.
And we should ask Danny to introduce it.
Okay, damas y caballeros, muchas gracias para escucharnos esta tarde. Y en este momento les presentamos Big Sandy y Eddie Angel con Lágrimas Solitarias.
Corazón te llora, solitarias. Te lloran lágrimas, solitarias. Y dime, ven, tú di que sí, di que sí. Mi corazón te llora, solitarias. Te lloré lágrimas, solitarias. Y dime, ven, no. Tú di que sí, di que sí. Di que sí. Just give me another chance for a romance. Come on and tell me that someday you return. 'Cause every day since you've been gone away, you know that my heart does nothing but burn. Crying, solitarias, te lloré lágrimas, solitarias, y dime, ven, no, tú di que sí, di que sí, Come on,
Lágrimas solitarias.
That was so wonderful.
Thanks a lot.
So Eddie Angel on guitar, Big Sandy singing, Danny Amos introducing the song for us. And before we go, I got to ask, how do those lyrics compare to what Jackie Wilson sang?
That one's pretty close.
Yeah. Especially the bridge.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, that's another one that's fairly faithful to the original.
Yeah. Well, I can't thank you guys enough for performing for us. It's just been really, really fun, and
you
sound great.
Thank you so much. Yeah, our pleasure.
Good luck with the new CD and with your tour.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Danny Amos and Eddie Angel are guitarists in the band Los Straitjackets. Big Sandy is a guest vocalist on Los Straitjackets' new CD, Rock en Español, Volume 1. The performance was mixed and recorded by Audrey Bentham. As I watched The Sopranos' final episode last night, I was wondering, what is our TV critic David Bianculli making of this? In a minute, we'll all find out. This is Fresh Air. After 8 years and 6 seasons, the HBO series The Sopranos ended its run last night with a finale that is certain to be remembered, but not necessarily fondly. TV critic David Bianculli has this review.
Literally for years now, one of the biggest questions regarding The Sopranos has been, how would it end? Well, after literally years of anticipation and speculation, viewers of the HBO crime drama finally got their answer from series creator David Chase. Tony didn't get whacked. Instead, viewers got punked. The Sopranos didn't end, it just stopped. And stopped in mid-scene, with the tension ratcheted up to almost palpable levels. Previously in the final episode, Tony had brokered peace with other members of the New York family and had his own guys track down and kill Phil Leotardo, who had killed Bobby, put Silvio in a coma, and been gunning for Tony. So by episode's end, Tony felt comfortable enough to meet the wife and kids and enjoy some comfort food at a local New Jersey diner. Tony arrived first, then Carmela, then AJ. But by the time Meadow drove up front, Chase had started to focus his cameras on other customers at the diner. Some are friendly, happy parents and children, but others are menacing characters, hovering nearby and potentially ready to pull out guns and mow down the Sopranos in one final Bonnie and Clyde-like hail of bullets. When Meadow has problems parallel parking out front, that's the way it looked like it was going to go. Her inability to park would make her the sole survivor of the show's last mob hit. But no. For a few brief moments, Tony, played by James Gandolfini, got to enjoy the very thing he'd been desperate to experience for years, a warm, normal dinner conversation with the family. Was this the last note sung by the Sopranos, a happy ending? Or were they all about to pay with their lives for Tony's many crimes? We'll never know, because as the family talked and the Journey song Don't Stop Believin' played on the tabletop jukebox, David Chase decided to ignore the message in the song's lyrics. Just as the tension built to where you hoped or feared something would happen, the Sopranos cut to black. For good. During the silence that followed, you could hear millions of HBO subscribers screaming in anger and disbelief.
I went ahead and ordered a shove for the table.
Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. Street light. Don't stop.
I know some people are absolutely outraged about this, and I understand why. But after I groaned when the screen went black, I chuckled, then groaned again. There were plenty of good ways The Sopranos could have ended. I wanted Tony to take his family and enter witness protection, which would have been really ironic, given that he murdered another mobster in the show's first season for doing just that. Another TV critic I know expected Polly to be Brutus to Tony's Caesar, and that made a lot of sense, too. But one thing you have to say about the way David Chase didn't end The Sopranos, it's not inconsistent. Here's a guy who left that Russian running around in the Pine Barrens never to be heard from again, and let the rapist of Dr. Melfi just fade away. Chase's argument is that life doesn't always provide consistency or closure, and apparently, the more people asked him to tie up loose plot threads, the more he resented it. So last night's non-ending was a giant message to the audience. What kind of message, I'm not allowed to say on radio, but clearly, this was a joke he was having at our expense. Whether or not you're able to laugh at it, I guess, says something about how you watch television and how seriously you take it. Some fans already are saying that for the money they provide each month to HBO as part of their subscription, they don't expect to have to supply their own endings. And what I wonder is this. Back when David Chase surprised HBO by agreeing to one, then to two, lengthy and very long-awaited extensions to the Sopranos series, it was because he wanted to do justice to his characters and finish the story the way he wanted without rushing things. Is this really what he had in mind? If you listen to the music he selected for the last few episodes, the answer appears to be yes. Not only did he end the series with Steve Perry from Journey singing Don't Stop, but earlier in the hour, he had AJ and his girlfriend listening intently to an old Bob Dylan song, It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding. One of the key lyrics there may have reflected Chase's entire philosophy about The Sopranos and its finale. I got nothing, Ma, to live up to. What's more, the final episode began with another defiant song choice by Chase, the old Vanilla Fudge cover of You Keep Me Hangin' On. There's no way that was accidental. So he was laughing at us from the start. And even last week, the Bada Bing girls danced to a very odd music selection, When the Music's Over by the Doors. When the music's over, Jim Morrison sang, turn out the lights. One week later, that's exactly how David Chase ended The Sopranos. Do I feel cheated? A little. But I can imagine both the endings Chase hinted at, and I might have felt cheated by either of them, too. Besides, despite HBO's slogan that it's not TV, it's HBO, it's just TV. So where does The Sopranos ending rank in terms of TV's all-time best finales? It's up there in terms of audaciousness. Perhaps the biggest mind game since The Prisoner almost 40 years ago, when Patrick McGoohan's number 6 and his village enemy number 1 turned out to be literally one and the same. But it doesn't provide the outrageous sense of closure that St. Elsewhere did when the whole series turned out to be the daydreams of an autistic kid, or the ambitious sense of closure of 6 Feet Under, which went decades into the future to dramatize the deaths of all its major characters. And it certainly doesn't leave you smiling and satisfied, like the brilliant finale of Newhart, which put Bob Newhart back in bed with Suzanne Pleshette from The Bob Newhart Show and dismissed all of Newhart's later series as a bad dream. That was brilliant. All of those endings redefined everything that had come before them. The Sopranos didn't do that. It just pulled up short, and did so with an episode that wasn't even that strong. David Chase, after so much brilliant work and creating so many characters we cared about, seemed to be saying he could take it or leave it. So he left it, and left us staring at the screen into darkness. It's not the way any of us wanted Tony to go out.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Daily News. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer is Roberta Sherrock. Our engineer is Bob Purdick. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Sue Spolin directed the show. I'm Terry Gross.
When the music's over, when the music's over, yeah, when the music's over, turn up the lights, turn up the lights.
Support for NPR comes from the Annenberg Foundation, advancing public well-being through improved communication, on the web at annenbergfoundation.org. From the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation, supporting educational, cultural, and environmental initiatives to make our world more livable, on the web at grdodge.org. And from the Ford Foundation, a resource for innovative people and institutions worldwide, on the web at fordfound.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
On the next Fresh Air, Dennis Ross. He was the chief Middle East peace negotiator in the Clinton administration and directed the State Department's policy planning office under George H.W. Bush. Ross has written a new book called Statecraft and How to Restore America's Standing in the World. I'm Terry Gross. Join us for the next Fresh Air.